Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. I've been trying to find words to help us in this new year. I want to give you a word today. It's the word explore. Explore. You know, explorers are so admired. And I've got two on the program. Dr. Sherry Keffer and Chris Williams, they help people explore the truth. You explore the depth of pain, hurt, struggle, sorrow. Hi, guys. Welcome.
Hey.
Hi.
I like the idea of exploring. I think it's like mining someone's heart, you know, mining their story, mining their situation, as if you were digging for gold. And I do a lot of exploring in my life, with my friends, family, and with clients. So
yeah, well, you know, when you say that, mining, we need to mine our own business, not mind our own business, but mine. Mine it. Go for it. It's your stuff. Get with it. Do it. Look into it.
And I think where we as Christians especially get stuck is we go back to our places of comfort and certainty, where God's faith is constantly calling us to the frontiers.
I totally disagree. No, I was just kidding. I just had to throw that in there.
I love it.
No, but it's right. Comfort. That's what I was focusing on, what you said. We go to comfort. And it's like people say, oh, drugs are your God or food is your God. Comfort is the God.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and you can't explore from the comfort of your Barca lounger or Lazy Boy in front of the TV. There's not much exploration.
You know what another one is, Steve? Being
what?
Right.
Oh,
being
that's good.
Right.
That's good,
Jerry. Yeah. Is another place that keeps us out of that exploring mode. Right? Because if we think we're right, then there's no need to listen to your perspective, your opinion, your side of the story. And so that's like a conversation killer and relationship killer, being right.
It is. And if you think you're right, then you're not going to have anybody around you that might differ with your opinion of your opinion. So you're just going to have people around you that help you believe that you are right. Well, we want to help with all of those things. And, you know, we do these workshops to help with the deeper issues, the struggles. And when you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, there's always somebody there who cares about your deeper issue. And when you want to explore, when you want to do something beyond just staying the same, you discover something that's pretty powerful. It's called hope, and it's called strength. Hope and strength. What can't you do when you have the strength and power of the Holy Spirit and the hope that God has a plan for you, and he's not giving up on you? That's what we want to help you discover. But you have to call us for that to happen, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, some folks have called us here to talk to us right here. So let's go to, how about we talk with James? James from Dallas, Texas, listens on KWRD. We'll get to James right after this. James, hold on there, because the music caught me off guard. Maybe you're on guard about a lot of things, and it's not just music that interrupts you. Maybe it's a person that you're struggling with. Have you thought about forgiveness, reconciliation, repair? We could help you with that. But you'll have to call us first. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call. Also, we would love for you to support us by joining Club New Life, $30 a month. That's a dollar a day. I figured that out. And $30 on our 30th year in ministry. We started in 1988. and you'll become part of the foundation of our ministry. We count on every month. It's amazing how $30 a month, it does so much to help this ministry. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back after this.
I'm about 100 pounds overweight. I'm 30 years old, and I'm just really discouraged. I'm scared, and yeah. I don't want to fail again.
Does this sound like your story? It doesn't have to. You don't have to be defined by how much you weigh any longer. New Life's Living Light Workshop can help. The workshop features main sessions presented by Steve Arterburn and Michelle Spadafora, plus small group sessions led by a licensed Christian counselor and morning workout sessions designed to meet you at your own pace. It takes place in Washington, D.C., January 26th through the 28th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go online to newlife.com. If you're finally ready to stop going from diet to diet and begin a comprehensive plan that provides freedom in every area of your life, the Living Light Workshop is the weight loss and living free plan for you. Call 1-800-639-5433 or newlife.com. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Chris Williams, Dr. Sherry Keffer, and I said we were going to go to James, and I think we will go to James. James, are you there? Dallas, Texas. How's it going, buddy?
I'm good. Good. How are you?
Doing okay. How can we help today? Because that is exactly what we want to do.
I appreciate that. Thank you for taking my call. It's kind of a long, I'll try to boil it down here, but I have three brothers, and one of my brothers has kind of a passive-aggressive behavior, and it's kind of affecting the family because he's the one that's in charge pretty much. We all live in different states, and he lives with my parents or near my parents, and my mom has Alzheimer's, and we want to, I guess the gist of it is that she had in her directive not to have a feeding tube, and he and my dad decided to have one put in against the directive, and it's kind of, we can't really seem to change his mind, and it seems like his, whatever we tell him, he listens to it, but he does what he wants to do, and we think that's part of it is due to passive-aggressive behavior, and he just has a problem dealing with fear and anger, and this is his way of controlling the situation. So really not sure exactly what the question is, but just trying to figure out how to deal with this because it just seems like it's kind of tearing our family apart.
I'll let Chris and Sherry try to help you here. It does seem like to me you have a legal problem that if anything were going to change, it would have to be done probably with a legal intervention where your attorney would say, here's the directive, we don't understand, why is this being done? But any thoughts here on dealing with a passive-aggressive relative when, you know, it's at the point of death or a really dependent life of a relative? What do you think, guys?
Yeah, I think you identified it really well, James, and that is he's dealing with a lot of fear. And my guess is that he avoids conflict like it's the plague, but then so he plays to you in verbally, but then his behavior contradicts.
Correct. Yes. He's got a big problem from what I can tell. My brother's big problem with fear, and then that builds up to anger, and then he'll get into big outbursts, and then he'll close up and won't talk to anybody.
Well, it's really challenging here, but I think for you it's to continue to directly address the fear, but also to not let his fear muffle your voice so that you are able to be direct, you're able to be assertive with what your perspectives are, what your desires are. Obviously, you sound like a very respectful person, so you can assert yourself very respectfully and lovingly, but you don't have to mute your voice. But again, one of the questions, the direct questions to ask your brother, and not to say that he'll answer this honestly or with transparency, but to keep asking him the question, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Allowing him the opportunity to address his own fears.
Yeah, one of my brothers kind of confronted him about the whole directive and and what it said, and my brother's response was, "What do you want me to do? Let her die?" And I mean, kind
well,
of
the answer. Yes, the actually, answer to yeah. that. The answer to that is, that's what she wants. It's not
right.
what I want, and it's not what you
yeah.
want. That's what she mm-hmm. wants, and mm-hmm. it is a form of fear-based codependency
mm-hmm.
thinking that I'm doing this for her to keep her alive, and the codependent tries to convince themselves that they're doing it for the other person, but it's their selfish motive, their fear-based, self-centered motive that does it. And how many people end up in drug treatment because a codependent finally said, "Wow, I realized I wasn't doing it for them. I was doing it for me."
Wow.
And that's when everything changes. So you'd want to say to him, "Hey, listen, I was thinking about you asking, what, do you want me to let her die? And I was thinking, you know what? She wants to die. It doesn't matter what we want. That's what she asked for."
Right.
And any attempt for us to preserve her life through a feeding tube is us doing for ourselves what she has asked us not to do.
Yeah. And that, another problem, too, is that my dad is the power of attorney. So I guess, again, I don't know all the legalities of this.
Well, you got to talk to your dad. You need to talk to your dad yeah. separate and distinct and say, "Hey, listen, I think you're caught up in this thing, and it's not honoring her."
Yeah. In fact, he even says, like one of my, the same brother that confronted my other brother, he confronted my dad and says, "You know, this is not what Mom wanted." My dad even says, "Yeah, I'm being selfish here, but I don't want to let her go, and I can tell in my heart that she really didn't want us to not put a feeding tube. I can know in my heart this and
well,
that."
I would suggest that you and how many brothers and sisters do you have? Just one other brother?
There's four boys all together.
Hey, I think you all ought to get together with Dad and say, "It's time, Dad." Together in the room with him, an intervention. Sherry, any thoughts here before we move on?
Yeah, the only thing I would add is I would actually see if you can talk to the treating physician. You might need your dad in the room to talk with them or to have access to your mom's records. But I had a friend of mine who had a very similar situation, lots of siblings. And the one child that was taking care of the mom, she was having to take her to dialysis every day. And she had Alzheimer's as well. And the doctor said to her, and it was a very painful but honest moment, he said, "If you don't let her go, you're basically keeping her alive for you, for your sake. And if you don't let her go, she'll just get worse. You'll have to take her to dialysis every day. And at this point, she's not aware of who you are." And so it was having that doctor's voice, his intervention, helped to bring the medical piece in, as well as some of the emotional stuff that was going on. So,
all right, I hope and pray for her sake and for all of your sake that she can be honored in this way. Boy, that is tough. And how many of us face those kind of very, very tough struggles? All right, let's go to Gina from Annaville, Virginia. Hi, Gina, how are you? Gina, are you there? Gina may not be there. That's very disappointing. I like Gina. Let's talk with Esther, Orlando, Florida. Esther, are you there in Orlando, Florida?
Yes.
Hi, welcome.
I am here, thank you.
How can we help?
Well, I think I know what my husband is battling, but I'm not an expert. But for the last 6 months, I've become like your A-plus student on trying to decipher what he's dealing with. So my question is, what is he battling? I was a single mom for 8 years. I married my husband. 6 years I've been in the marriage, and every time we have a disagreement, he runs off. Means he packs, he moves out, he gets a U-Haul, he completely moves himself out. He's done it 5 times consistently.
Well, he is really committed to training you to not disagree, isn't he?
Yes. When he comes back, we never talk about what happened. We never sit down. He doesn't want to go counseling. He doesn't think he needs a shrink. He doesn't want to be scolded by the pastor. Mm-hmm. He doesn't. I'm an introvert, and I'm an avoider. And he's an extreme vacillator slash narcissist, and he has borderline personality disorders. Those are my own self-diagnosed to him, because I've been going crazy on this crazy cycle, trying to figure out what's going on. And I can't. I've been wounded.
So, okay. So the question for us then is what?
So the question is, what is he battling? Why? What is he going through, or what do you think he needs? I guess I'm to the point where I just want to become healthier. I want to find my own identity again.
Sure.
I have lost myself. I'm scared to meet new people.
All right, let's see what Sherry and Chris have to say. Sherry, why don't you start us off here?
Well,
she's saying some very important things here about what she wants.
So, you know, I think you've identified yourself pretty well. In fact, I was thinking she might be an avoider. And you know what the clue was you gave me? Was that you said, I'm trying to decipher what's going on. I hear that you're in your head a lot. And sometimes partners who are with avoidance get very frustrated because they can't feel you. They can't touch your heart. It's like your heart is kind of, there's a moat with alligators and a big gate that comes up, and they can't penetrate that thinking way. Are those things that he has said to you?
No, but my father would tell me every time I wanted to cry, he would tell me, stop it. I'm gonna give you something good to cry about.
So
my mother didn't know what to do with my emotions. She would just leave me talking. She still does it.
Oh,
if I call her, our conversations are 20 seconds, and the only one who spoke was her. And
totally get it.
I've been traumatized by my husband's behavior, and I want to be healthy. And I think I have all your books, and I've been just one more and more because I want to get whole with God.
All right, we want to help you, and I know you've got a need to express all of that stuff. It's so painful, and we feel it, and I'm so sorry, but listen to what Sherry has to say. Maybe she can help you find a direction here.
Well, so when you express your feelings with him, do you share with him just like you shared with us right now?
No, because I'm always afraid that he's going to... This is him. Anytime I put my foot forward and express my feelings...
He leaves.
How he's... Yes.
Yeah.
He leaves and he tells me, you're breaking us apart.
Yeah.
And he leaves that stays in me like I was a bad wife. You unsubmissive. We went to a Christian counselor, and the Christian counselor graduated us, and he didn't figure it out. We had an opportunity.
Well,
let me tell you what
I would suggest. I'm not sure what if the Christian counselor was working on communication issues, but you all need what's called attachment bonding therapy. more like the likes of something called Imago therapy or emotionally focused therapy by Susan Johnson, because both of you are pinging off of each other. When you do share your emotions, his own attachment issues flag up, he gets triggered, and he runs away. He feels overwhelmed, where you have... Maybe you're not being overwhelming. Maybe you are just sharing what you've been pent up and not talking about for a long time. And so you need a safe place where you guys can learn how to express what you're really feeling without hurting each other. Hurting each other is running away. Hurting each other is not telling your partner how you feel. Those are things that are harmful to an ongoing marriage.
Yeah.
If you're learning to communicate in a state of disconnection, it's like learning to kind of yell at each other as you pass by in the night, and it doesn't help anything. And especially if you have all of this emotion, you can't share it with him, the person you're married to. How sad. We're sad for you. Well, we'll help you right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. Chris Williams, Dr. Sherry Keffer. If you need help, there's somebody there who wants to help you. And we've got workshops, we've got books, we've got resources, counselors all over the country. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We want to help.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Okay, so we've been talking with Esther. We have some thoughts, Esther. We've been talking deeply.
It's almost like kind of a Super Bowl game. We got off the phone and we started talking about what is going on with Esther and her husband. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And should we bring Esther what we think might be happening?
I think we should.
It's kind of a big replay.
Yeah.
So, Esther, can you bring her back on the line? So, Esther, when I started talking to you and I said, well, I think I thought you were an avoidant because of how... you were in your head. But then as soon as I brought that to you, your heart opened and all these emotions just flooded out. And so you've said when you've tried to bring your husband, you grew up in a home where it wasn't safe to feel those emotions. Now, in the book, How We Love, that could actually be more of a vacillator, somebody who didn't have a safe place growing up. It wasn't okay to be who you were. Your emotions weren't acknowledged. You were made to have to be on your own and to feel somewhat self-contained in your hurt and your pain. And your husband is somewhat acting like an avoidant. Uh-huh. He is running away from conflict, running away from emotions rather than honoring you and sitting in the emotions and hearing you, because he might get overwhelmed by then. So we can't really diagnose you here, right? We don't know you. There's more time we'd have to spend, but we probably would change the playbook a little bit with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, the Christian counselor, we went for 6 months and then graduated us and said, you don't need to come back. He said we had cognitive distortions in our communications. And then he told me, you need to go to, for me, that was for my husband, cognitive distortions for communication. And then for me, he said, you need psychological help for your depression. So I did go to a psychologist, and he told me that I had post-traumatic stress disorder, and put me on Lexapro for anxiety, because I had severe anxiety and severe depression and severe fears. I've grown fearful of so many things, and that's okay. Just been in the past 3 years. I wasn't like that.
So if we're going to help you, we have to encourage you to get healthy in dealing with the anxiety that you have. Really, I mean, this is such an attachment issue. If you guys could come and let Mylon and Kay talk to you at our marriage intensive, the whole world would open up for you, I think. It would be a totally different life for the two of you. But you would have to agree, we're going to have to, and here's the word, explore some new ways of being together. And I know you're anxious, but I suspect that he's anxious, very anxious, so anxious that he runs for the hills at any bit of conflict. So I want to encourage the two of you to go. But in the meantime, I'll send you Take Your Life Back. Now, anything else we want to help her with that we could prescribe for her?
Well, I just want to, Esther, I want to fire you from figuring your husband out, because it's actually in your way. You have very big feelings that you're sitting on all the time, and his behavior triggers your feelings. And you believe that if you can figure out his behavior, you won't have as much fear and insecurity as you carry. But the truth of the matter is that figuring him out will not bring you certainty and will not bring you a sense of peace. It is going what Steve said, is take your life back and figuring out how to take care of some of those feelings that you're carrying inside of you all the time.
When somebody's trying to figure somebody out like that, Chris, it's a hypervigilance. It's a worriedness that's at a really high level. And it usually comes out of beliefs that come out of trauma, PTSD, which is, I can't trust anyone. Mm-hmm. I can't trust myself. And so that makes us very scared about the person we're living with. And it makes us really hard for us to relax and just be ourselves with them and in their presence. So definitely has some work to do there.
So we just often, as human beings, make the matters worse because we try to figure it out ourselves.
And pointing at the other person, right?
Yeah, and it's a great moment of humility and insight when we say, I don't have it. I can't do this. I got to turn this over to somebody else. But just taking the Lexapro, I don't want to, there's so much more to be done here. All right, now Gina is back. Annandale, Virginia. Gina, welcome.
Yes.
We missed you earlier, and we're glad you're back. How can we help you today?
One moment. First, I want to start with, this is kind of a testimony, because it's the first time I am listening to the radio and to your program. It was a suggestion, but I now understand why I had to wait all this time.
Because why is that?
If you could put all the questions together, especially the very last one, that's my story. Like, everything together. We've been married for 14 years, and we started doing ministry 10 years ago for families, and it's just for the glory of God that we helped other people and other families. But lately, the last 3 years, it was like a roller coaster with my husband, and I didn't understand. I was trying to figure him out also, and my father was the kind of person where he would, since I was little, would push my emotions aside and always told me not to cry, not to share. And the
right.
Same with my husband. He would run out, and when I come forward these years, I meet this guy. He's charming. He's the most romantic and all. But when we talk about emotions, he wants to put them away. And he ran away from home 5 times. This very last time was 7 months ago, and he was diagnosed bipolar.
Okay. Well, we're going to help you right after this.
I'm 443 pounds.
How long have you weighed that much?
I've probably been over 300 at least 15, 20 years. Mm. I'm 39. Feel like I've just been a failure in every area of my life.
Does this sound like your story? It doesn't have to. You don't have to be defined by how much you weigh any longer. New Life's Living Light Workshop can help. The workshop features main sessions presented by Steve Arterburn, plus small group sessions led by a licensed Christian counselor, and morning workout sessions designed to meet you at your own pace. It takes place in Washington, D.C., January 26th through the 28th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go online to newlife.com. If you're finally ready to stop going from diet to diet and begin a comprehensive plan that provides freedom in every area of your life, the Living Light Workshop is the living free plan for you. Call 1-800-639-5433 or newlife.com.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're with Gina. She says she's learned a lot while she's been on hold here. Gina, we were about to go, you said your husband was diagnosed bipolar. What's the most bizarre thing he has done as a bipolar person in ministry?
Okay, first, he can be the most loving and caring wife.
You said
wife,
that,
and then
but what's,
I'm not.
Yeah, but what's the most bizarre thing?
Well, one of the things he said he wanted to go to, because we were in ministry, but one day he came and he said he wanted to go to the world and drink and do women and party around, and so he was leaving me for that reason. And I accepted it. When he left, I said, well, I'm not the woman for you. I didn't understand his behaviors or anything. So I said, okay, if you don't love me anymore, I love you enough to let you go. That's what you want. I can't do that. I'm not going to go to disco. I'm not going to, you know, live for the world, and you go for it. But the next week, he was coming back looking for me again, like a woman, and I'm the perfect woman for him. And he could not understand what was going on and stuff. And I was like, you are crazy. You're driving me crazy, or you are, I don't know, like, go. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he would come for 7 months every week. One day he says, I love you, I'm coming back. The next day.
So what is the question for us then?
How to deal with it? Until when do I stop this? Am I allowed to stop the relationship and say, well, I want a divorce? I mean, I love him and I know the promises of God, but I don't know how to... I know I'm not the one bringing them to pass, but how am I... how do I affect this relationship that wasn't even made by me? Like, his sister committed suicide, and I thought, and she was my best friend, and I thought and said to myself, I will never go back to that family again. And here I am married to him 15 years.
So let's start with Sherry. What do you think, Sherry? What do you think's the answer here?
Well, I think you're asking a really good question. Is he medicated for bipolar disorder?
He is, and I've seen the changes. Amazing. Like, amazing.
Okay. Like you got a person.
You know, abusive as he was.
So that's a great testimony to the power of the proper medication. When someone has a brain chemistry issue, they're not even in their right mind. I'm not saying that what they did wasn't their choice. They make choices. But when someone is unmedicated with bipolar disorder, they can do some things that cause a lot of harm. Are you willing to work on the relationship now that he is medicated and begin to learn how to reconnect and to create safety? Because the first thing you need, my dear, in this marriage is safety. Capital S-A-F-E-T-Y. Like, no more running around in the world, drinking, smoking, being with women. Is he willing to commit to that and on his medication?
Miss Sherry, look, he is like so afraid to harm me and the children.
Okay.
That, like, he knows the word of God so much that he's never partied around. He never went out drinking. He was just, like, afraid of his emotions. He's been abused. He like, all his past, I would even say that more than bipolar, he's a broken, so broken soul.
Okay, just so like what I'm hearing is softening in you. I'm hearing softening and a willingness to repair.
Yes.
Now,
for the glory of God, yes.
Okay, so what are you going to do to repair the hurt and the disconnect?
Tell her what to do. Tell her what to do.
So I think, you know, Steve, I think they are a prime couple to go to one of our intensives. And I really think with your vulnerability and openness and him on medication, to come to the marriage intensive and to actually look at how to connect better, I would say you guys need to get into some couples work right now. Don't wait, because he's coming into a new person. He is kind of landing on planet Earth now. And so for him to be able to attach and bond to you is really critical. And so you both have to be somewhat settled and in good couples therapy to attach. That's what I would recommend, those two things.
Okay, and I think How We Love would be a great book to help them understand what they're going through, why they're going through it in this way. But look, here's the thing, Gina. It's going to take some courage on your part, big courage on your part, and you're going to have to ask him to stay, that you want to see some things happen, but ask him, try to stay. Don't run from me. Take advantage of this new medication that's working. And don't run. Stay in the moment. I'm here for you. I'm with you. And let's courageously go through this together.
Our marriage intensive, Steve, I just looked it up, is February the 16th. And so I say, come to California, make a little mini vacation of it, and come to the marriage intensive. It's February the 16th in Orange County.
That's right, and it could change everything. Let's go to Corinthian from Houston, Texas. KKHT is the station. How you doing? What's going on?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. How could we help today?
Well, I am in a place where I'm going on my 25th wedding anniversary.
Okay.
And for about maybe the last past 10 years, my marriage has been shipwrecked.
Okay,
my,
what happened?
My husband, he went on drugs. He backslid. He was a deacon at our church when we lived in California. I'm originally from California, and we moved here to Houston about 3 years ago. He was on drugs and stuff, and he had an affair. He went to prison. We lost our business. And
what
so
did
many
he go to prison?
What
did he go to prison for? What was the offense?
He went to prison for he was stealing some chrome polish out of the tire shop. He went to get the brakes fixed, and he stole like $500 worth of chrome polish. And I don't even know why he stole it, because he had a pocket full of money at the time he did that. Mm. And even when we moved here to Houston, he went to Walmart and he stole a bunch of stuff and ended up going to jail. He had $5,000 in his pocket. No reason for him to steal whatever he was stealing, because of the drugs, mm-hmm. I believe is what it was.
Okay. And so what's the question for us then?
Okay, so my question now is, like, he's clean and sober.
Mm-hmm.
He started going back to church and stuff, and he's driving. He's working again after not working for 5 years. It's been like 5 years that he wasn't working. So okay. Now I'm at a place where I'm trying to learn how to reconnect with him.
Totally.
I stayed with him through all of that because the Lord instructed me to stay with him. Well. The Lord let me know it was not his will concerning me that I divorce him for me to stay with him. So I know that God has a purpose and a plan for us.
Sure.
So I just want to learn how to reconnect with him. I'm sure, I know that he doesn't know me. He's been so out of touch with me for so long, and I really don't even know him either, with that being said, because he hasn't really been a part of. And I know that there was a lot of hurt, you know, done on my part and his, you know.
Sure.
Like with just being verbally.
Yeah.
I don't really want to say like using curse words, profanity, because I don't use profanity,
right.
But just, you know, not encouraging him to do better. And then, like,
well,
I turned our children against him and stuff.
Okay.
And
so we understand that you made some mistakes. You did the best that you could. But I love it that you want to get back with him. You ask us, how could we help you reconnect with him? And I think the first thing is, does he know that you were really hard on him?
Yes, because
I
repented to him and I was
dangerous. Okay, so then the next thing would be, could we get some help together to try to get us back to that place where we were just absolutely crazy about each other? I miss you.
I
miss us.
Hard to do.
Because why?
Because he's a truck driver. And like our communication is horrible. We argue so much whenever he's on the road and stuff, and he's calling. Like he's always.
He's not on the road all the time though.
Yeah,
he's
For like 3 weeks of the, he's there for 3 weeks, uh-huh. And then he's gone for like a couple of days. Like we're having our 25th anniversary on the 18th, and our oldest daughter, she's 30. She suggested that we find some marriage seminar to go to for our anniversary, which is not a bad idea.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's not on the road all the time. Let me just ask Chris and Sherry what they're thinking.
Well, Corinthian, you and your husband have been through a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, and a lot of fear. Trust is broken at a fundamental level. The first thing you got to do is that if this thing is going to get repaired and be flourishing in the future, you've got to put a lot of time on your hand. And he's got to show up with trustworthy behavior as you do, but you've got to get into the work. We do have the marriage intensive coming up here in February. I would highly suggest it. We are headed to break. There's a lot more here. But it starts with trust, and trust for him is not his words, but his behavior over a long period of time.
And Corinthian, I would have you check out my New Life TV show I did on bitterness.
Yeah.
Because when we're road hard and hung up wet to dry like you've been in this marriage, we can harbor bitterness, and it can make it hard for us to heal.
We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Just a couple of thoughts here from Sherry and Chris for Corinthian. Yes, it'd be great to go to the workshop, but here are some things right now that maybe you could do that would help. What do you guys think?
Well, I say looking at him with a new perspective, a new lens, and instead of criticizing him, see what you can do to offer ahas. Like, wow, you know what? I want you to know how much I appreciate your faithfulness in providing for us. And wow, I really appreciate your sobriety. The other day, I remembered back to when things were so crazy between us, when you were in prison and doing, you know, meth and all. And I just want you to know, I'm really grateful for the fact that you're not using. Just positive, reaffirming statements when you notice him doing good things are way better than criticism and bitterness. Chris,
any thoughts here?
Yeah, it goes back to the building of trust. And that is, I think there's some really honest conversations to have. I think that you put aside criticism, but you still hold on to honesty. And that is that you're still scared and you're still hurt and you're still guarded. And that is just where you're at, and that to build trust, there needs to be a lot of honesty and openness and time together. And to be real honest, I don't know how well truck driving and restoring the marriage are going to go together.
And I would say this. You say this to him. You went to prison for your crimes, and I did not. But I murdered our relationship, too. We did it together. And while I didn't serve time, I want to do something to serve you to get this back together. I've seen your character. I've seen your improvement. We argue. We disagree. But when I see the man you are today versus the one that went into prison, I shouldn't be in a relationship where there's arguing all the time. Let's go get the help. You served your time. Now it's time for me to serve my time and to do what I can to help us get back together. That might motivate him to dig deep, work hard, and do some things you never expected him to do. What do you think, Corinthian?
Thank you. I appreciate y'all.
Okay. All right.
We're going to give you a purple heart, girl, both of you, actually, as far as recovery and you hanging in there.
Yeah, I'm going to send you, I'll send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. And I hope it's going to be a good one for you. I don't have much time, but I'm going to talk to Lynn in Tampa, Florida. She listens online. Lynn, like I said, not much time, but let's get to your call. Is there a quick question we could answer for you?
Thank you for taking my call. I'll try to make it quick.
Okay.
I've been married to my husband for 3 years. We're in our early 50s. And it's coming to our attention that he was the victim of parental alienation. He hasn't seen his father since he was 7 years old.
Oh, wow.
And recently on Facebook, we have found that he has half siblings he never knew he had, and we're trying to build relationships with them, and it's going well, and we're really excited and happy about it.
Yeah,
the problem is his mother was always his hero, and now it looks more like maybe she had some denial and control and dishonesty issues. And I'm wondering, as we proceed with this relationship with his half siblings, I expect she's going to get very upset. how do we have healthy relationship with her, healthy boundaries with her, and how do we introduce the half siblings to his adult kids who are close to his mom?
Okay. Well, I told you I didn't. We didn't. I said we didn't have a lot of time. I'm just going to jump in here. I don't know how you have healthy relationship with all of them. There's been a lot of really sick and sad things that have gone on, and she has participated in that. And so what I would say is, how do we get him to face the reality of his hero mother, maybe not being so much of a hero, accepting her and all of the flaws and mistakes that she made that weren't very heroic, so that that doesn't bring him into a state of depression because it was really sicker than he ever thought. Chris, Sherry, any thoughts here before we go?
I have a quick one. I would say we started this show with the word explore, and I would say stay out of the trap of being his hero. You be his wife. You be his partner and his companion, and you sit with him with all the feelings that he has. You don't try to fix it. You just hear it and hold him. Be a safe place.
Yeah.
Chris?
That would be a good thing. Chris, anything?
He's waking up to a new reality, and that is so disorienting. I mean, it's just his due north is no longer due north, and he's got to refigure out his life, his family, his understanding. But for him, I would just encourage him to stay connected to himself in a way that he knows his value. He knows who he is and what he's about, and especially who he is in Christ. But just to affirm, as wife, you walk along with him. And also, if his behavior or his attitude towards you does go south, just because he's in a bad spot doesn't mean that you can't step up and say, hey, I know you're hurting and I know you're frustrated, but treating me poorly doesn't give you an excuse for that, but also just encouraging him where you do see progress.
Okay. I am never, ever unamazed at how hurtful we can be. To protect our own feelings, we walk away from things and we walk into stuff we shouldn't, and it's just absolutely amazing how much trouble we cause and for us and others. And that's why 30 years ago, I started New Life. Some men came to me and said, why don't you start an organization? And I said, I want to help people with really tough problems. So you call us if you've got a tough problem, something you don't want to talk about in church. I was talking to a guy just today. He says, I want to get counseling about an hour and a half from here because I don't want anybody to know we have a problem. I wanted to say to him, buddy, I think they do. I think they know. And it would be really good if they knew you were getting help for it. But we understand all that. We understand how difficult life is. We are broken people. We take things into our own hands, and we break people even more. It doesn't have to be that way. It sure doesn't. If you need help, we want to help you, but you have to call us. Let me play something from a woman named Terry real quick. Let's play this clip.
Thank you for shedding the truth on the power and pervasiveness of sexual addiction in our society today. Thank you so much for Every Man's Battle workshop that turned my husband away from his lifelong addiction. Thank you and all the listeners who've ever called in for questions and for the experts on your panel that answer with wisdom. By listening, I have learned more than I can ever express about how God wants me to live. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of the New Life family. I love being a member. God bless us all everywhere.
All right. Wow. I love it. Thank you, Terry, for that. I really appreciate it. God bless you. Hey, listen, if New Life has impacted your life, we'd love to hear from you. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If your life needs an impact, we want to help you. You just have to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You think these guys are smart, Sherry and Chris? We've got over 1,000 people that are smarter than, well, maybe.
Well, they are smarter than we are.
I've met some. They're brilliant.
They're really brilliant. And they want to help you, but you have to call us before they can help you. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the number. Listen to this scripture. Just pull this up here. It says, let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Why? Why would that be? Because God is on his throne. Jesus died for our sins. We have hope. There's nothing too big that we can't handle. Might be some things you can't handle alone, but with help, you can handle it. And it starts with 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us, please. God bless you. And if you can help us, it's that same number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Explore. It's a great word. What do you need to explore today?
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.